This is Jay Sekulow, breaking news. James Comey talking about the FBI, and FISA says he was wrong.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
I was wrong. I was overconfident in the procedures that the FBI and Justice had built over 20 years.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
I thought they were robust enough. It's incredibly hard to get a FISA. I was overconfident in those because he's right. There was real sloppiness. 17 things that either should have been in the applications or at least discussed and characterized differently. It was not acceptable. And so he's right. I was wrong.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
I was right. He was wrong. It was sloppy. Meanwhile, we're talking about FISA warrants. So sloppy's not an excuse. I'm shocked that James Comey admitted I was wrong, although he was rather cavalier about it. Here's what happened. The former FBI director acknowledged on Chris Wallace's show that the Justice Department Inspector General report identified real sloppiness in the surveillance of a former Trump campaign aide. It was Carter Page. That's how they got the FISA warrant. And said he was wrong to have been, quote, overconfident about how the Russia investigation was handled.
Yeah, I mean, this is, again, this is a major kind of admission by Jim Comey, because remember, right after the report from the Inspector General, he wrote an op-ed for the Washington Post saying how he was completely vindicated, and Chris Wallace really pushed him on this and got pushed on other shows as well, and because the Inspector General was asked, is anyone vindicated in your report? And he said, anyone that touched this FISA was absolutely not vindicated by my report. And this idea, Jim Comey saying, oh, it's very tough to get a FISA warrant. He must not have any idea about just the basic statistics about getting a FISA warrant. It's like 99% of FISA warrant requests. It's like a rubber stamp. So it's not difficult to get a FISA warrant. Maybe it should become more difficult. But the idea here is that for the first time ever, I think we have Jim Comey admitting wrongdoing when it comes to the investigation of President Trump. And that is a major moment in this saga, if you will, is that Jim Comey finally admits he was wrong and the buck stops with him and it all falls on his shoulders. Now, he tries to say, but listen, it wasn't treason. It wasn't criminal. It wasn't that. That's what he hopes it's not. But what he is admitting now, finally, that he was incorrect. He says that. Yep. I was wrong. That we did the wrong thing. And what was the wrong thing? Spying on a U.S. presidential campaign and using a doctored evidence by a, quote, junior attorney who then went to the Mueller team, who got removed from the Mueller team for his hatred of President Trump because the IG found that. I mean, this is just, I think it's just beginning.
And
spiraling.
Let's follow up on something that Jordan said, and that is, this is malfeasance and worse, 17 things that were wrong with a FISA application. That means it was misstatements, unauthorized comments or incorrect comments to a federal court judge.
That's right. I mean, he handles it rather cavalierly when he says it was sloppiness. I think it was more than sloppiness. It was gross negligence that rose to the level of malpractice and lying to a federal judge in order to get this FISA application approved and a warrant issued. You don't just say, just cavalierly slough it off by saying, well, we were sloppy about it, and we thought that they were going to be handled in a thoughtful, responsible way. It was not. And the judge to whom the evidence was adduced should be furious, and the warrants should never have issued, in my view, in this case, based as they were on evidence that was absolutely irresponsible to present to a federal district judge. And that is the report of the dossier and the garbage that came out of that.
All right, we're going to take your calls and comments on the Comey matter. We're going to talk about the Supreme Court granting review. We're going to talk about the upcoming impeachment vote. Is it going to get moved back? I mean, there's a lot of discussions going on in Washington right now. Some true, some rumor, some speculation. We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Of course, get your comments in via Facebook and Twitter as well. Now, let me encourage you to do something. Support the work of the ACLJ. Jordan's letting you know how to do that. With a matching challenge campaign, you can make a real difference.
Folks, you know, as this December, we've got a group of donors who will match every donation that comes through at ACLJ.org. Make your donation today. This is not just for the future. This is not just for 2020, but for all the work we're doing right now. Donate online right now. Double the impact at ACLJ.org.
At the ACLJ, we remain committed to protecting life. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is killing unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. We're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. And we're continuing our fight in court against Planned Parenthood, appealing a disturbing decision that backs Planned Parenthood. At the same time, we're engaged in key Supreme Court cases protecting life. We could not mount this battle without your support. And right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40, a $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life. Online at aclj.org. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back. I was wrong. That's what James Comey said. Let me play for you a bite from his interview on Chris Wallace. This is James Comey's version of, I guess, I'm sorry. I guess that's what it is. Take a listen.
Remember how we got here. The FBI was accused of criminal misconduct. Remember, I was going to jail and lots of other people were going to jail. People on this network said it over and over and over again. The Inspector General did not find misconduct by FBI personnel, did not find political bias, did not find illegal conduct. Inspector General found significant mistakes, and that is not something to sneeze at. That's really important. But the American people, especially your viewers, need to realize they were given false information about the FBI.
Really, an FBI lawyer has been referred. That's number one. Number two, listen to Horowitz discuss vindication.
Former FBI Director James Comey said this week that your report vindicates him. Is that a fair assessment of your report?
I think the activities we found here don't vindicate anybody who touched this.
Okay.
So, you know, Wes, you're legally trained, you're a pastor, you know words. James Comey was really parsing this closely.
Absolutely he was.
He was pre-planned on what he was going to say.
Oh, yes. Well, color me a skeptic, but I think that James Comey has a real personality defect. And I say that from observing things he said over the last few years, as well as some friends of mine that worked with him at the Department of Justice. He assumes, and this is the defect, in any given situation that he is more morally pure and smarter than whoever he's dealing with. And so when he comes up on Fox News Sunday and admits this, I'm so suspicious, because when you admit something like this, it makes you appear a good person. It belies the fact that his op-eds recently have gone just the opposite way.
Exactly.
He claimed to be vindicated, but suddenly he's going to be honest and transparent. And he's doing it, Jay, in my opinion, because it makes him look good. And that's what James Comey is always about.
Yeah, except I think he didn't get away with that with Chris Wallace.
No,
and I was wrong about a FISA warrant. Andy, is a big deal.
It's a big deal. You shouldn't be wrong about any application for a warrant before a federal district judge. But when you go before a court and you're asking it to spy on an American citizen, you better be very sure of what your evidence is. And again, I don't know who far up the chain reviewed this, but certainly Comey knew about it. and those high officials in the Obama Justice Department knew about it, I still am convinced, and they presented that to a federal district judge to get a warrant to spy on an American citizen. Absolutely horrendous, and you can't just get out of it by saying we were sloppy. That ain't an excuse.
Let me play for you exactly what James Comey said, and then we have Harry and Jordan respond to this. It's the I call it the I was wrong bite. Here we go.
I was wrong. I was overconfident in the procedures that the FBI and Justice had built over 20 years. I thought they were robust enough. It's incredibly hard to get a FISA. I was overconfident in those because he's right. There was real sloppiness. 17 things that either should have been in the applications or at least discussed and characterized differently. It was not acceptable. And so he's right. I was wrong.
This ended up being a spy campaign on a president of the United States. Well, then was the Kennedy for the... I mean, he's acting like this was some ordinary case. And by the way, Chris Wallace pushed back on that because he said, well, I'm not involved in the individual investigations. Those are the line agents. I don't know. When you're investigating the Republican nominee for president, maybe you should be involved. Maybe that's why you got fired, James Comey. Harry?
Basically, James Comey acts like he was a bystander, perhaps an innocent bystander. This suggests that James Comey, beyond question, is clueless. James Comey signed the FISA warrant. His history and his record as FBI director suggest that he has always been clueless. He continues to ignore evidence right in front of his face suggesting FBI bias and the fact that the FBI doctored information. The FBI knew that Steele was a liar, essentially, and continued to investigate an American citizen, Carter Page, by claiming he was a Russian agent, even though he was working for the United States government. So James Comey should have been fired for many reasons, but incompetence is clearly near the top.
All right, so let's take a look at it this way. And I want, Jordan, you give me a taking a look at this. What Comey said, what does this do politically?
Politically, I think it shifts the entire Horowitz narrative. It started off with people like Jim Comey writing vindication op-eds and Democrats saying, see, they are the tin hat wearing conspiracy theorists who thought that the FBI was illegally spying on a U.S. presidential campaign and all the dossier stuff. And now you've got Jim Comey apologizing, saying he was wrong. He tries to minimize these 17 errors. We talked about how these 17 errors kept being compounded. So they would make the 17 errors up to 51 times.
Right.
Because they didn't correct them along the path. So 17 really became 51 errors that began with 17 errors on top of what I'm calling, it was an email that was doctored, but it's evidence that was doctored by by Kevin Kleinsmith of the DOJ, who was an attorney who doctored an email so that they could get the FISA warrant to spy on the Trump campaign. That Kevin Kleinsmith then gets moved over to the Mueller team. And eventually the IG comes to Mueller and says, you got to remove this guy just like you got to remove Strzok because he's got this just unbelievable bias against President Trump. He's a guy who now we find out was willing to break his potentially lose his law license. Which could happen him. I mean, he's got a criminal referral, but that easier to lose your law license than even be convicted of a crime because he doctored evidence to get a FISA warrant on an American citizen.
And you're a former prosecutor, former assistant U.S. attorney, acting U.S. attorney, head of the criminal division. How serious is it if a FBI lawyer doctors evidence?
It is I can't think of anything more serious than the fabrication or the massaging of evidence to make it say what you want to say. There is nothing more heinous than that. That is a crime. That should be a capital offense, in my opinion, to be committed by a government agent. I don't think there's anything worse than that.
All right, we're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Let's take a call.
Yeah, Jerry in Rhode Island, line one. Jerry, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Jerry.
Hello, team. Well, we've seen his confidence after the report comes out before the hearing. And then we saw, after the hearing, he thinks he's been cleared. I didn't see the Chris Wallace thing, but I heard Colonel Smith. I think the next things we'll see after the Durham report comes out, we'll see real contriteness and maybe a diminished capacity defense.
Well, here's the interesting. I won't comment on that. But here's the interesting thing, Wes. I mean, and I'll let Wes and Harry address this. It's clear he's going to make a pivot. He started that pivot on Sunday.
Absolutely. James Comey is very bright. He is a smart man. He's also a manipulative man, and he's so conscious of his public image that he is constantly tacking to the left, to the right, different ways to protect that image. Back to what we're saying also about this rogue FBI lawyer who changed something. What he changed was there was an email from the CIA talking about Carter Page being one of their operatives, which would legitimize his any contact with Russians. And the email said he is part of this, you know, operation. And the lawyer said he is not, actually changed the email.
I cannot even believe they did that. And the guy was still working for the Justice Department?
He's been referred for criminal investigation, so.
But, I mean, who gets away with this?
Well, part of the problem, Jay, there was a culture there from the top down. That culture wanted to delegitimize Donald Trump, and that's what this is about.
That's when Harwood said, it was one of the things Harwood said I thought was so right when he said, no one that touched this is vindicated. Harry?
I think that is absolutely correct. I agree with Wesley that James Comey is very bright. However, I'm not quite sure that James Comey is very smart. I think he should cut his losses and keep quiet. And certainly if I were his attorney, I would not go out and make additional public statements from which James Comey effectively impeaches himself.
Yep.
So he wasn't vindicated. The FBI was more than sloppy. There is clear evidence that there was bias at the FBI. And there are a cascading series of errors with respect to the FISA application process, which James Comey signed. Effectively, he lied to a federal judge saying that the FBI warrants were supported by adducible evidence, when indeed that was untrue. So effectively, the FISA warrant constituted, in my opinion at least, a breach of Carter Page's Fourth Amendment rights.
You know, we've got a whole government accountability project at the ACLJ that has been looking at all this FBI issues, and will continue to do that. And your support of the ACLJ allows us to do that. Keeps his broadcasts on the air, allows us to do these cases, cases around the globe. But I think it's important for you to understand that we are concerned about, we've been looking at this whole FBI issue for 3 years now, Jordan. I mean, it's been a long time.
Very long time. I mean, this happened before Mueller. It started with Jim Comey, started with really the Clinton email investigation. A lot of the same actors. Remember, Peter Strzok, the FISAs we filed, the tarmac meetings. Then it gets to Mueller. After Jim Comey is fired and leaking memos, and then we get the dossier information, and then we get special counsel. Special counsel clears the president. Now we get to Ukraine, and we're talking about impeachment. I mean, it is just absurd. We're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget our matching challenge. Donate online right now. Double the impact of your donation, ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org. At the ACLJ, we remain committed to protecting life. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is killing unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole.
We're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. And we're continuing our fight in court against Planned Parenthood, appealing a disturbing decision that backs Planned Parenthood. At the same time, we're engaged in key Supreme Court cases protecting life. We could not mount this battle without your support. And right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40. A $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life. Online at aclj.org.
Well, we had a big day Friday afternoon. We were not able to. We were already off air. We didn't get the order until almost 5 o'clock. But what we did get was something that's pretty historic. I would say very historic, actually. And that is, I'm holding my hands here for our TV audience. You're seeing it. These are three separate petitions for certiorari. That is, requests for hearing before the Supreme Court of the United States. Actually, two certiorari petitions, one application for a stay. The first case is President Trump versus Cyrus Vance. That case raises the issue of whether a local district attorney can seek to investigate a sitting president of the United States. And Andy, you have been and are a local district attorney. And the idea that a local DA could intervene and investigate a sitting president raises unbelievably serious Supremacy Clause issues.
It does.
Of the highest order.
Imagine the hundreds of district attorneys thousands. And prosecutors that are around the country that would decide
5,
that
we want to.
Okay, well, good. All right. Hundreds, thousands, millions, whatever. There's a lot of them. And imagine that they decided in their jurisdictions that they want to investigate the president of the United States sitting incumbent in office, and that they're going to issue subpoenas. It's impossible for him to carry out his Article 2 functions as the president of the United States if he has to combat subpoenas, assuming, of course, he's permitted to do so. The House of Representatives and the Democrats would say, if you combat a subpoena because it's unlawful, you legally then you should be impeached. We wrote a ridiculous thing to say. But it would so divert the attention of the president from doing what he's got to do, and that is governing the government of the United States, that it would be impossible to execute the duties of his office. So these are important cases.
Let me read
important.
You the question that's presented, and I will be arguing this case before the Supreme Court towards the end of March. The district attorney for the County of New York is conducting what is apparently a criminal investigation that, by his own admission, seems to target the president of the United States for possible indictment and prosecution. He's doing this during his term in office. As part of that investigation, he served a grand jury subpoena on a custodian of the president's personal records, demanding production of nearly 10 years' worth of presidential financial papers and tax returns. That subpoena is a combination, almost a word-for-word copy of the subpoenas issued by the two committees of Congress for the exact same papers. The Second Circuit rejected the president's claim of immunity and ordered compliance with the subpoena. The question presented is whether this subpoena violates Article 2 and the Supremacy Clause of the United States Constitution. My answer to that is it does. We have submitted our cert petition in that case and our reply brief. They submitted a brief in opposition. The court granted review. That order that came out Friday on this case says the petition for certiorari is granted. The case will be set for argument in March 2020. Then there are two additional cases. One is an application for a stay in a case entitled Donald Trump versus Deutsche Bank. And this is, again, a request for financial records. And there's a companion case to that one. I'm holding that in my hand. And that is Donald Trump president versus Mazars, the Committee on Oversight and Reform of the U.S. House of Representatives. By the way, in the Deutsche Bank case, House of Representatives is a defendant as well, or what we would call the Supreme Court a respondent. Both of those cases have been granted. Now, the one was just an application for stay. Let me read you the court order. The petition for writ of certiorari in 19715, which is President Trump versus Mazars, is granted. The application for a stay presented to Justice Ginsburg and by her referred to the court is granted. And it is ordered that the mandate of the United States Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit in case number 19-1540, that's the Deutsche Bank case here, is hereby stayed pending order. In addition, the application, so we didn't even file a cert petition yet, The application is treated as a writ of certiorari, and the petition is granted. The cases are consolidated in a total of 1 hour is allocated for oral argument. These cases will be set for argument in the March 2020 argument session. So what that means is we will file three separate briefs. We will have two oral arguments. The oral argument in the Vance case I'm going to do, and then I'm going to have my colleague, Will Consovoy, do the argument in the second case, which is the House case. The House cases are combined for argument, but the good news is we will be able to brief all three of these cases separately. And as important as the oral arguments are, and I love doing the oral arguments, it is the briefing that is also equally, if not more important. So hugely impactful cases. I have never had a day. That's why it was an incredible day to get what we call a hat trick. Three grants like that.
Three grants. And I think it speaks a lot to the ACLJ and the legal work you've done over the decades of the ACLJ that this next time that you're going to be heading back to the Supreme Court, you're representing the president of the United States of America. And I think for all of our listeners out there who have supported the ACLJ and supported your career and the work that you do, I mean, that's the constitutional expertise that we have that you've developed that now, it started out with literally Bible tracts being handed out at airports in the Jews for Jesus case that went to Bible club cases and things like that, the Mergens case and pro-life speech protected and religious speech being protected as First Amendment speech. And now
we did campaign finance case.
Campaign finance cases and then culminating with representing the president of the United States before our highest court in the land during a very pivotal time, because this case will the opinion will come out just months before the next election.
Harry, looking at the issues there from a constitutional perspective, how significant do you think these are? I think it's probably the most significant case that the Supreme Court's taken, maybe in I put them in the top 10 of all time.
These are very, very significant because they implicate Congress's power to investigate the president, but it also implicates the power of local district attorneys. There are over 5,000 of them. And so, for instance, if you focus on the Cyrus Vance case, the quintessential question is, can a local district attorney investigate the president? Basically, if you look at the Vance case carefully, it's simply an harassment case designed to paralyze the president's exercise of his Article II powers. Imagine the president of the United States confronted with over 5,000 cases. And if we allow the Vance case to go forward, there's no reason why a district attorney couldn't, for instance, file multiple claims against the president of the United States. Now, this has been the dream of the Democrats. The first dream was shattered with respect to Trump's election in November 2016. But if we can't defeat him at the ballot box, let's defeat him through the operation of government. Let's paralyze his ability to govern by bringing suits multiplied by suits against him. And so if the Supreme Court allows this case to go forward, guess what? Virtually every district attorney in blue states will bring a lawsuit. It will be open season. And so guess what? If this goes forward, you get a Democrat president, then all of the red state district attorneys can bring lawsuits as well.
So, Andy, I don't want you to feel old, but the very first case you and I did together at the Supreme Court's number was 86-104. This case, that means 1986.
Yes.
This case is 19-635, 2019. Doing this for going on four decades. Like Jordan said, I mean, this is kind of the penultimate in one sense, representing the president of the United States.
We hope we have a repeat of Jews for Jesus in terms of the number.
That was pretty good, 9-0. All right, we're going to take your calls. We're here for another 30 minutes. Don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. We've cleared the phones for you, so 1-800-684-3110. Back into the James Comey matter, back into where we are with impeachment. And again, support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. If you're on Facebook and Periscope, share it with your friends.
At the ACLJ, we remain committed to protecting life. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is killing unborn children and then selling their organs. We're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. We could not mount this battle without your support. And right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life, online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
I was wrong. I was overconfident in the procedures that the FBI and Justice had built over 20 years. I thought they were robust enough. It's incredibly hard to get a FISA. I was overconfident in those because he's right. There was real sloppiness. 17 things that either should have been in the applications or at least discussed and characterized differently. It was not acceptable. And so he's right. I was wrong.
And now, Chief Counsel...
James Comey is so cavalier about that. He was right, I was wrong, Wes. You talked about that earlier. This is pre-planned by him. There's no question about it.
Very, very calculating kind of man. He really is. And you look at this IG report, how can anyone turn that around and twist it to somehow say that they're being vindicated in this? And then whenever, you know, all the interviews and the testimony goes against him, he backs up and he regroups. And without any embarrassment, he doesn't blush, with no shame, he's suddenly now, you know, contrite and honest. And like I said, it makes me question his motives.
I'm going to play bite eight. Do we have what he said right after that? Because it was important also. So I want to, let me set this one up. This is the question about the Steele dossier. Now, important to understand, Jordan, the Steele dossier was they were denied the FISA warrant on multiple approaches. This is what they used to do it.
Yes, they could not get the FISA warrant on Carter Page until they finally brought in this dossier. The dossier, which had been widely now discredited, Christopher Steele has been widely discredited. Even when they were trying to back up who Christopher Steele was, they said, oh, he did this big report for FIFA, the World Soccer Federation. FIFA came back and said, we didn't use anything he provided because it all seemed like bogus, made-up material. So even when they were trying to... again, say that this is some guy you can trust his information. He got, you know, the whole thing started with an anonymous call he got, Christopher Steele. I mean, yes. It's so bogus. But anyways, that's how they got into FISA. They presented it as truth to, or at least as a likely truth to a FISA court judge when they knew it was totally bogus.
All right, so let's take a listen. Chris Wall is pressing the former FBI director pretty hard.
Did you know that, in fact, the Steele report was... the key for probable cause? Did you know that the FBI had talked to the Russian contact and he said what Steele said he had told him was not true? Did you know this? You're the FBI director.
First, again, the report will speak for itself. I don't believe the FBI concluded that Steele's reporting was bunk after talking to a subsource. But no, I didn't. As the director, you're not kept informed on the details of an investigation. So no, in general, I didn't know what they'd learned from the subsource. I didn't know the particulars of the investigation.
But this is- now let me play the next one, because not only does he, so he tried to move the blame off, saying, I'm the director, I fly above this. Really, this is an investigation of the Republican nominee for president. Chris Wallace pushes him again.
This isn't some investigation, sir. This is an investigation of the campaign of the man who is the president of the United States. You've just been through a firestorm investigating Hillary Clinton. I would think if I were in your position, I would have been on that, you know, like a junkyard dog. I would have wanted to know everything they were doing in investigating the Trump campaign.
Yeah, that's not the way it works, though. As a director sitting on top of an organization of 38,000 people, you can't run an investigation that's seven layers below you. You have to leave it to the career professionals.
This is absolutely nonsense, Andy. He was investigating the Republican nominee for president of the United States. He is the FBI director. He is responsible. But to say he didn't know what was going on, so blame everybody else, quite a leader.
Yeah, well,
what's his book? Moral Leadership?
Higher Loyalty.
Yeah, Higher Loyalty? Yeah, to him. Go ahead, Andy.
No, the only loyalty that he has is to himself.
Really bad.
You're investigating the Republican nominee, and you're saying, I'm above this, and I don't know what's going on, seven layers below me, and I don't want to get If I try to run an investigation to finish that quotation, it'll get mucked up in all different kinds of ways. Well, let me tell you, you did muck it up, James Comey, in all different kinds of ways by not paying attention to it and by turning a blind eye to something that you should have been on, like a junkyard dog.
All right. We're going to be taking your calls on all of this. 1-800-684-3110. Then we're going to give you an update on the impeachment. Where's that going? A lot of rumblings on that right now. People leaving the parties. I mean, there's a lot going on. Take your calls. Phone lines are open. 800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ. Do that at aclj.org. And remember, very important here. This is important. Share this with your friends if you're on Facebook, Periscope, or Twitter, any of our feeds. We encourage you to do that as well. Again, aclj.org. Support the work of the ACLJ. Share it with your friends right now. Back with more in just a moment.
At the ACLJ, we remain committed to protecting life. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is killing unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. We're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. And we're continuing our fight in court against Planned Parenthood, appealing a disturbing decision that backs Planned Parenthood. At the same time, we're engaged in key Supreme Court cases protecting life. We could not mount this battle without your support. And right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40, a $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life, online at aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
So James Comey went through this whole, you know, he's vindicated thing, and then he gets questioned on the vindicated. So let's play the bite where he says he's vindicated. Let's play that one. Here we go.
Do you think this is vindication?
It is. I mean, the FBI's had to wait 2 years while the president and his followers lied about the institution. Finally, the truth gets told.
Okay, now, Chris Wallace says, you said you were vindicated. Now let's say what Horowitz says about vindication.
Former FBI Director James Comey said this week that your report vindicates him. Is that a fair assessment of your report?
I think the activities we found here don't vindicate anybody who touched this.
Okay.
Then he was asked about vindication again. So Horowitz says no vindication. He was asked about vindication again. This time it was asked in the context of a Chris Wallace interview. Take a listen to this.
The IG says you should feel no vindication.
Well, maybe it turns upon how we understand the word. What I mean is that the FBI was accused of treason, of illegal spying, of tapping Mr. Trump's wires.
Did he just say it depends on what, how we define the word vindication? I've heard that defense before.
Yeah.
We're working on that one. I'm going to get that one for you. You're going to remember this because this one goes back. Remember what the word is. It's the same. This is the same nonsense.
Yeah.
This is exactly the same. Go ahead, George.
No, this is, again, they got caught. They got caught by the IG. They briefly read through his report and thought, I'm going to write a full op-ed which says I'm totally vindicated. And in his mind, it means that, I didn't commit treason, which is a crime punishable by death. That's
right.
That's vindication for you, former FBI director? That's good enough?
So that
you didn't commit a crime punishable by execution that's in the U.S. Constitution. Okay. The idea here, again, There is no loyalty. There is no vindication here. Horowitz said it, and he is a very careful person. John Durham is not going to be so nice. He is a prosecutor. He is a prosecutor with grand juries and with subpoena power. And
I'm sure they're thinking about that right now. You know their lawyers are thinking about that right now.
Yeah, about these statements by Jim Comey.
Yeah, that's why I'm a bit surprised Andy's going out there.
Oh, I think he's doing it on purpose.
Comey?
Yeah.
Well, he's out there because he's trying to make, you know, to whitewash himself and to cleanse himself. But he's such a pious, arrogant, saintly kind of person, which with faux credentials to be a saint. I mean, calling him a saint is an insult to saints everywhere because he's not. And to say that he was vindicated, which is a word that means that I came out victorious in this, is, first of all, he doesn't know Latin, which I know he doesn't. But obviously he doesn't know anything because he wasn't vindicated. He was actually condemned and indicted for what he did.
But his book is entitled, Wes, Higher Loyalty.
He does have a higher loyalty. He has a higher loyalty to Jim Comey. And that sounds so jaded, but it's really, really true. And that who else could read this 400-plus page report from the IG and feel like they were vindicated except someone out of the same cut of cloth as Jim Comey? Yeah. And here's the other thing about the IG report. They said, well, there was no political bias. The IG did not say that. He said there was no written documentation of political bias. Frequently, when he was interviewing people, their answer was, I don't recall. So there's nothing in writing where they admitted political bias. That doesn't mean that political bias wasn't there.
I think it's going to be, Harry, very interesting to see how the James Comey matter plays out, and Clapper and Brennan, who you don't hear a lot from these days, as Durham does his investigation. I mean, that's going to be very interesting.
I think so. I think James Comey, unfortunately for James Comey, has a significant written trail,
yeah,
which can be used to impeach him. And he continues, perhaps against his own lawyer's advice, to give public statements and to write books, give lectures on ethics. He said one thing, though, that I totally agree with. When questioned by Chris Wallace, I was overconfident. James Comey, I think, has always been overconfident. He's been overconfident in his ability to avoid accountability. But I think at the end of the day, the chickens will come home to roost, and the Durham investigation will lay bare James Comey's ineptitude.
All right, let's switch gears here. I think it's the time to do it, and that is, let's get a lay of the land on impeachment. So, Jordan, yeah, we've got supposedly a vote. Supposed to be Wednesday. Now yeah, we're hearing there's all kind of rumblings out there.
Well, okay, so Thadman's in meetings right now, so he'll give us even a better update tomorrow on the broadcast, but this is what he wrote to us this morning. Everything is fluid and subject to change, but here's what they are trying to do this week, the House of Representatives led by the Democrats. Appropriations, two minibus bills, rules today, floor starting Tuesday. That's to fund the government. Impeachment Rules Committee will meet Tuesday at 11. They are still aiming for a floor vote on Wednesday, but there's probably a 50% chance that floor vote on impeachment slips to Thursday, potentially even later. Then, of course, there's the USMCA, which is in the Ways and Means Committee on Thursday, and there should be a rules then floor vote after that. They leave town when they get it all done. So, I mean, they've got a lot to do to get out of town, which is why they're ready to stay in, not just through this week, but through right up until Christmas.
Well, so this is, I mean, and then a Senate trial, if the article of impeachment, they're saying January 6th, and they're still, I think we're supposed to hear from Schumer this afternoon, right?
Schumer put out a proposal, and his proposal,
He wants witnesses.
Again, I think that, and what Lawrence Tribe and these other liberal kind of law professors are saying is that if McConnell, who's in control, just like the Democrats were in the House,
yep,
and I didn't see Lawrence Tribe complain about the Democrats running how the House worked, and said no witnesses that you want, Republicans. But he's saying that if Schumer doesn't get what he wants, the House should consider treating that as a breach of the Senate's oath and withhold the articles until the Senate reconsiders. So the House will decide to vote on impeachment if they have the votes to impeach on these two articles.
And not let a Senate trial go on because they don't want him to get acquitted.
Smart move, Democrats. Let that hang over. Let the full weight of the Republican Party start attacking you on that move, that you are scared of a full trial on your articles of impeachment. What are you scared of? They're so bad. They're so lacking in substance.
Well, now they get questions. Now the House managers, whoever they are, will get questions by the Senate. Of course they don't.
Now they're going to say Justin Amash, who's a nut.
They want witnesses.
A guy who's a Republican who left the Republican Party. I mean, this is he's out of left field.
But here's what
they want him to be the impeachment manager because they don't want a real Democrat to have to do it.
There were 13 impeachment managers in the Clinton impeachment hearing. Now, what's interesting on this is, they are now, Andy, asking for witnesses. They say Schumer wants witnesses. They just had a House trial where they didn't call these witnesses.
That's right. That's a lot of guts on Schumer's part to ask for witnesses.
They didn't subpoena John Bolton.
When they didn't do their job in the Senate.
They pulled it back.
And gave the president absolutely no due process whatsoever in the Senate.
So they've had their trial.
In the House, and now they want to do it in the Senate.
They had their time to be in full control. And they rushed it through. They didn't wait for the courts to consider the assertions of executive privilege, so they didn't hear from some witnesses that they would like to hear from. And because of that, they decided they've scheduled a vote. We'll see if they actually take that vote.
What do you think?
I think, you know, we'll talk to Than tomorrow to see just how close this vote is getting on impeachment. And I think, as Than said, if Nancy Pelosi had the votes, they'd be rushing this as early as they could this week. And now we're talking about votes on maybe Wednesday, maybe Thursday, maybe Friday on impeachment. That means you do not have solid votes right now, because if you did, this would be number one in your agenda. You'd get it done through the Rules Committee, and you'd get the votes done on Wednesday. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they'll do it Wednesday. But if they don't do it Wednesday, it tells me they are lacking in votes, or they're concerned that they may not have enough votes to pass it through, which would be a huge failure. Of course, for the Democrats.
Harry, let me go to Harry first and Wes. Harry, what's your sense on that?
Well, as a result of the Democrat impeachment inquiry, we find the following. No extortion, no bribery, no quid pro quo, no facts, no evidence. And this is after months of an investigation in which the Democrats failed to give the president either due process or elementary fairness. So I think the Democrats should either vote impeachment out, or they should go home.
Yeah.
And here's the deal: this charge of abuse of power is so vague and nebulous because they have no criminal act, they have no impeachable act, and so they have this broad brush stroke of abuse of power because they can't specifically name anything that the president has done. And Jay, you know, the framers of the Constitution, they were concerned about this, that impeachment would become a political tool, that somehow the president serves at the pleasure of Congress, and that is dangerous for our constitutional republic.
Jordan, what do you think the chances of them passing articles of impeachment and sitting on them?
I think it'd politically be very risky, right? Very risky. I'd like to hear from Than tomorrow after he's been with his congressional meetings to see if this is just something Lawrence Tribe is floating out there on the far left trying to push Democrats to do, because you're going to impeach and then you're not going to let this move forward. Why? Because you're worried that your articles of impeachment don't carry enough weight for a significant trial and will be shot down so easily by real attorneys.
Well, that's what it sounds like.
That's what it sounds like to me. Support the work of the ACLJ. We'll be right back. Taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Call in now to be on the show. Donate, ACLJ.org. Double the impact of your donation.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. At the ACLJ, we remain committed to protecting life. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is killing unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. We're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. And we're continuing our fight in court against Planned Parenthood, appealing a disturbing decision that backs Planned Parenthood. At the same time, we're engaged in key Supreme Court cases protecting life. We could not mount this battle without your support. And right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40, a $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life, online at aclj.org.
All right, last segment, we take your calls, 800-684-3110. We'll take your comments as well. Interesting, Chuck Schumer sent a letter to Mitch McConnell, Jordan. I would describe the letter as a urgent plea to get the case retried, basically, because they know what they got coming out of the House doesn't cut it, so he wants live witnesses.
Right.
But yet, in 1998, Chuck Schumer said in the Clinton impeachment, no new witnesses when it went to the Senate.
That's right. He said the Republicans could not negotiate a fair bunch of witnesses with Democrats, and just there was a 55-45 vote. That was because there wasn't bipartisan negotiation. There should be now. This is a guy who said, you said no new witnesses in 1999, and it was just like that, completely lacking bipartisan negotiation. That's what you get, Democrats. When you don't have bipartisan negotiation in the House, you're not going to get much of it in the Republican-controlled U.S. Senate. You had your opportunity to be bipartisan when you were in control. You didn't. Your vote is expecting to be completely partisan and actually losing some Democrats. Again, I think that this is just the continued Democrat pressure to try and scare Republicans into not just moving along and getting this done.
All right, let me play first the flashback, then a question on it. So here's what he said in 1998.
It seems to me that no good case has been made for witnesses.
Then he was pushed on this on TV this weekend. And listen to this conversation that goes on with the senator.
Historically speaking, you also voted against admitting new evidence into the Senate trial in 1999.
Well, that's because they jammed it.
Well,
in other words,
what's different saying in 1999, I don't want any evidence, no witnesses. You said no new witnesses in 99.
The Republicans could not negotiate a fair bunch of witnesses with the Democrats, and just there was a 55-45 vote. That was because it wasn't a bipartisan negotiation. It should be now.
Well, why should it be, Andy?
because he wants it, that's all.
Because their case in the House is so weak.
Because they did nothing in the House to support articles of impeachment.
I think even Chuck Schumer's embarrassed to have to vote for these articles.
Yeah. Go ahead, Andy. Yep.
I'm saying, they didn't make their case in the House. Now they're going to see if they can make it in the Senate. That's not going to happen.
What do you think, Harry?
Well, I don't think the Senate's going to cave. I think it is interesting to see Schumer demonstrate beyond question that he is simply a contortionist on a balance beam without any evidence. And I'm not necessarily sure that he can maintain his balance going forward. I think it's highly doubtful.
I tend to think the same thing. I think Schumer, Wes, has a vivid imagination of where he actually is right now. That's what I would call it.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, you know, Washington is known for this. What I'm about to say will be a blinding flash of the obvious. But there's so much, you know, they're so disingenuous about things. And they know what they said in the past. The idea that suddenly he wants this to be bipartisan when there was nothing about the House hearings and vote to impeach that was bipartisan at all. But suddenly now bipartisanship is important. At least with Nixon and Clinton, there actually was some bipartisanship. There were people in the party of the president who really were ready to impeach him. The only thing that's been bipartisan this time is those who voted against the impeachment.
Yeah. So, Jordan, how does this thing play out now as you view it?
I think that the way this plays out is they will have to take a vote this week, and the only way they wouldn't is if they do not have the votes to pass these articles of impeachment. It will be completely partisan. In fact, I think the only thing bipartisan about it will be the opposition to the articles of impeachment, and that some Democrats, a handful in the House, will vote against these articles of impeachment. We already have a congressman who is going to switch parties.
How significant is that?
It's more of what we call the hashtag impeachment backfire on the Democrats, is that now they're losing members of their own party. So the numbers it takes to shift the House from Republican, from Democrat to Republican, just got one vote, just probably got one seat easier. So, I mean, it's backfiring. They're losing Democrat. Actually, elected officials are leaving their party. So far, we've got one who is actually leaving his party over the way that they have moved on impeachment.
So Rose on Facebook says this. So now, after illegally obtaining a FISA on Americans and spying on them and the Trump campaign, Comey thinks he can just say, "I'm sorry," and everything is supposed to just go away, Harry. It just goes away. I'm sorry.
Well, I think this is part of James Comey's commitment to his own illusions. If the basis of the FISA warrant was corrupt, and it was, if the evidence adduced by the FBI was incomplete and biased, and it was, then I think it is clear that the entire FISA warrant case, the entire Russia investigation case, the entire case based on the dossier, the Bob Mueller investigation, it all collapses, and it ought to collapse on the head of the Democrats who have pushed this narrative since before President Trump was inaugurated. I think it's very important as well not to absolve Adam Schiff, who has continued to push a false narrative. And it's important to note that Adam Schiff has taken charge, if you will, of the Intelligence Committee and its attempt to impeach this particular president. Adam Schiff, FBI director or former FBI director James Comey, and Jerry Nadler are all individuals who are untrustworthy, who are prepared to fib and lie when it suits their convenience. So they cannot provide a reasonable basis for an impeachment effort. And I think this should all collapse and come down on the head of the Democratic Party.
So Marianne on Facebook said, when will the Supreme Court hear the cases? When will the opinions come out? So we will argue the cases in the March term, probably at the end of the month is my guess. So it'll be the end of March. Now, the term ends usually around June 30th. So it's likely that, you know, April, May, June. So I would say in the month of June, probably near the end of the month, at the end of the term, those decisions will come out. All three probably come out. My guess is the same day, I guess. But yeah, that's my sense.
Yeah, that would be likely because you've got two that have been consolidated into one. But again,
one for oral argument. We briefed them separately.
Yeah,
so we're briefing those. We had a lot of work to do. Brief three separate cases right now. Yeah. Then the two oral arguments.
Yeah, and then you've got, I think, which is so dangerous with the one you're going to be presenting the oral argument into, is this idea that state DAs, while the president is in office, can just start opening up whatever investigations they want on the president, especially because this one's coming out of New York. He's been in New York for his entire career, and they decide now, this DA, that they need to open up criminal investigations.
Right. To get his tax returns.
They can't wait until after he's done with his presidency. They can't wait until, they couldn't do it before he was president. Now, all of a sudden, he needs to be criminally investigated. And his tax returns need the city of New York needs. It's absurd. It's presidential harassment. It's exactly what the founders wanted to prevent by having impeachment. So they have impeachment to say, if you want to remove the president, you don't go through the normal court process. You go through the political process, the House and the Senate. You don't go through DAs and criminal procedures. And again, I think it's just it continues with the presidential harassment that we're fighting back here at the ACLJ. We've been fighting back against this since Jim Comey made the announcement about the Clinton email investigation, when he said it wasn't negligent, because that would be a criminal, that would invoke something illegal, and then start with, he leaked the memos, then he got the special counsel, and the special counsel's team had to keep removing people because they hated President Trump, and now we got the Inspector General's report about how bad they were at the FBI, and they were lying to get FISA warrants on Americans to spy on the Trump campaign, and now we got Jim Comey actually now saying he was wrong. Mr. Higher Authority, Mr. I am God, Mr. I'm a Saint, is saying I am wrong. Folks, support the work of the ACLJ. You never stop pounding. ACLJ.org.
At the ACLJ, we remain committed to protecting life. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is killing unborn children and then selling their organs. We're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. We could not mount this battle without your support, and right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life, online at ACLJ.org.